Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my entertaining co-host, Ryan.
Yeah, I'm here. I try to be here every week. Just got in the door. I'm huffing and puffing, if you can't tell.
Yeah, I hear you had a harrowing drive home today.
Yeah, it was weird. Like, the clouds opened up as if to say, Ryan, go home. Go forth to your podcast. And as I was, driving on to it, and, there's snow on the ground. So you kind of have to take it slow, but I made it. And then all of a sudden, this dark cloud descends upon me, and then snow just starts spitting out. And I'm like, what's happening? And, it just cleared up again. Like, it was weird because it was totally fine. And I appreciated that because I was able to clear my car off with a foot of snow in this wonderful sunlight. And then I'm quarter of the way home, black, scary death weather. And then last quarter of the way home, it just cleared up. And I was able to get in and shovel the pathway and get in here and record a podcast.
I am so lucky. I don't have to shovel ever my driveway or the walkway up to my door. Snow removal is included with my rent, which is the smartest thing that I ever did.
Yeah, I have that too. But like, the guy is like, I don't want to, he might be listening for all we know. He's only on contract to do just the driveway. Like, he doesn't clear my pathway because I live in a basement apartment, so I kind of have to, like, come back around the house and in. So it's easy to clear. I'm not complaining, guy, if you're listening. I don't even know his name.
maybe, like, you should. Then maybe he would clear your walkway.
Well, no. I mean, he kind of literally just comes in, scoops the snow out, and drives away. But he doesn't put salt on the driveway, and I didn't know that. So, like, me and the upstairs tenant and I have literally just been having this stare down with the property manager, and we realize now we have to put ice down. And, you know, she put ice down? She said that too, and now I'm infected. We did not put ice on ice. We put salt. She put a whole bag of salt on the driveway because we had let it build up so much. So. Mm.
Yeah, my driveway is full of ice too. So are my steps, which is very unfortunate because my driveway is also about a 40-degree angle. So literally, I have to take a run at it, and then I just kind of like put it in park, pull my e-brake, and then I'm like, please, please still be there when I come out in the morning. Please don't be on the other side of the road.
Yeah.
So far, it hasn't been, but I have to check the traffic both ways before I put it in reverse and take my e-brake off, because once I get going down my driveway, I am not stopping.
That sounds awful.
I tried once and my whole car slid sideways and I was like, oh, I'm going to die.
Can't have that because I don't think anyone wants to listen to Ryan talk to himself for an hour and a half. Because I'd extend the podcast because I just like to hear my voice so much.
I see.
That's the only
so
reason
you just
we would
do it without. You do it in my memory. How about we say that?
Yeah. I'd even do your voice, but like, all right, welcome to the Gamers Inn. I'm your new lead anchor, Ryan, and I'm joined by the ghost of Jocelyn. Hello, Ryan!
Okay, I don't sound like that.
I'm pretty sure you do. Now you're a Muppet, so.
Oh, I guess I'm okay with being a Muppet. They're pretty cool.
A Moopit. You're a Moopit. Or is it a Moppet? I haven't seen that movie. It's been a while. Is this a podcast? What are we talking about?
I was going to say, on that note, I think we should move on before we just go too crazy off on a tangent.
Biggest tangent ever.
it ended with me being a Muppet, so I'm all right with it.
And I will table that voice until a later date. All right. Let's move on to the news. We got a few stories here, starting off with Max Payne 3 delayed to May. Now, this is a Rockstar game, and I'm not going to take credit for this joke, but Giant Bomb says, the long-delayed Max Payne 3 game has been delayed again, this time from March to May, the month Rockstar usually releases games. So I thought that was interesting, because I'm actually looking forward to this game, because I have not played 1 or 2.
I haven't either, so.
Oh. Well. Do you know about... I know about the game. Do you know about the game?
I know there was a movie.
Oh, did you see that? That movie was awful.
I did see it, and the movie was awful, so I kind of didn't touch the games with a 10-foot pole, because I was like, well, if that's how bad the movie was.
The games are good. Like, I remember I've seen gameplay, and I know of the game, and I played maybe, like, an hour of the first one. And it's like, it was the first game to kind of be, to kind of take the bullet time thing and make it really, like, work really well within gameplay. And you're a cop, and this isn't a spoiler, but mainly because it's a 10-year-old game. Your family is killed, murdered, or whatever, and there's drugs involved, and you're a cop trying to figure out what happened.
There's always been, like, drugs involved.
Yeah, well. Anyways, he could jump to the side and go slow-mo and shoot people. And it's made by, well, the first two were made by Remedy, the guys who did Alan Wake. Have you ever played that game?
No. It's on my list of things to play, though.
Well, if you don't get around to it, there's going to be an XBLA game coming out for Alan Wake that you could probably pick up spring. You should try that. But, yeah, Max Payne 3, I'm actually looking forward to playing it, and I guess that's the reason I include this. But mainly because it's so clever that they've delayed it from March to May, and, you know, Rockstar's games over the last couple of years have been coming out in May, so I thought that was pretty an interesting connection.
So this is a Rockstar game, so is it going to be the same as L.A. Noire and Grand Theft Auto? Is it going to be the same kind of, like, I haven't even seen a trailer for this because I totally wasn't interested. I'm interested now, but I wasn't prior to our talk. So does it look the same? Is it the same game mechanics and stuff? Because that totally turned me off going back to L.A. Noire.
I don't believe so. It's very action heavy. It's more a third person action than it is. And I don't think it is an open world game. I think it's more linear. But don't quote me on that, because, again, like, I just know of it, but I don't claim to be an expert when it comes to Max Payne 3.
I see. All right. Well, what I am super excited about is the Mass Effect 3 Kinect integration. So they just revealed it a couple days ago, and no jazz hands.
I just did jazz hands.
Oh, man. There are some times when I really wish this was a video podcast so everyone could have seen your jazz hands, because I'm sure they were fabulous.
Yeah, I have my old roommates can attest that I do jazz hands from time to time. Like, I am known as Mr. Jazz Hands. And
really?
I apologize to whoever. No, I'm probably not. But, I mean, I was just going to say that, yeah. My mother's French. My dad's side is Irish. And, like, you know, my mom talks with her hands a lot, and I've been known to kind of, I'm moving my hands right now. Yeah, that's how I roll. That's how I talk.
I see. Well, so I'm pretty pumped about this. I don't have a Kinect, but this makes me want to go get a Kinect, because it's all voice control. Like, you're in combat and you can be like, Jacob, do that. You over there, do that. And, like, you can change your ammo on the fly and everything else. And it's all just your voice. You don't have to, you still, like, play with your controller, but you voice control all of your combat, and you can still pull up the little wheel of the power wheel thing, and you can still do all your tactics that way. But if you just want, like, super fast, like, boom, 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 I want to do this now, you just have to yell at your TV, which I yell at my TV when gaming all the time. So I think this is perfect. I actually am thinking I'm going to go out and buy a Kinect, and I'm hoping there's some kind of, like, Mass Effect 3 Kinect bundle-y thingy that I can get. And so the demo also comes out on February 14th, which I'm hoping that's not a Kinect only demo. I'm hoping that I can pick it up and play the demo on just my regular Xbox, because, yeah, that would be the best Valentine's Day ever.
You should be good. I believe it is, you know, it's just the Kinect is not something that you have to have to play the game. So the demo is just going to have those features. And,
yeah, so that's what I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure if it was the Kinect demo coming out on the 14th or if it was just a Mass Effect 3 demo coming out on the 14th. So I hope that I'll be able to play. Crossing my fingers.
I'm looking forward to it because do you know a lot about how the Kinect is supposed to work with Mass Effect 3? Like, you mentioned
not too much, just what was in the article.
Okay, so, like, you mentioned that you can do orders like, Liara, cover my six. my Shepard is a Texan. And, you know, tell that Mandalorian salamander guy to heal your 12. I don't know, but you can also, instead of picking dialogue options.
That's really funny, because I'm pretty sure that the guy that you're talking about is Thane, who is totally my romance interest in Mass Effect 2.
Ew.
So healing my 12 is, it's funny.
That's not funny. Ah, oh, that's like sleeping with Garrus.
Come he on. Was my second choice, man.
I romanced. I shouldn't probably talk because I romanced Liara in the first one, and then the helmet chick in the second one, thinking I'd get to see her face, but you don't. She like takes her helmet off, and Shepard's like, "Oh my god, it's tentacly!" And then it just cuts to black.
The helmet chick.
The helmet chick. The cute techie girl who's like, "Oh, I don't know."
Oh, blah, yeah, blah, blah. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
She, yeah. So I shouldn't probably talk because
no.
But man, that guy had a weird voice.
I'm a personality person, man. I'm not a looks person.
Yeah. See, so. I go. Yeah. I no. I'm just kidding. I chose, and I'm the same way. I chose those
tentacle
characters. No. Yeah. I'm one of. I have that Asian fetish. What is it? The tentacle thing. You know what I'm talking about? They have like.
No, I don't at all. You totally lost me.
Oh, well, that just makes me sad. People will know what I'm talking about. It's not like you have to be a fan of the stuff to know what it is. Like, you've never heard of that?
We're not
following this conversation. That's just wrong.
Okay, I think we should.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else to say about Mass Effect 3?
I don't know. I don't know a lot about... Like, I am looking forward to the game, but I don't know. I should totally screw myself over here.
Yep, completely. It'll be the episode title. Ryan's Asian Fetishes.
No, I was joking. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So, the 3DS on. Demos are coming to eShop.
Yeah, I actually just started downloading a demo, but... The weird thing about this is that Nintendo really doesn't do demos the way that other companies do demos. In the sense that on the Xbox or PlayStation or PC, like when a demo comes out, you kind of expect it. You expect a demo to be available from the time it's released to at least, if not forever, at least until the game comes out, right? Mm-hmm. The way Nintendo does it is they make a big thing out of it. It's like, we're doing demos now. They're available for a limited time. You can download them from now until we decide to pull them for some random reason.
Really?
Yeah, it's weird.
That sounds kind of backwards.
It is. And I don't like there's been articles written about it, and you can look those up, but the interesting thing is that they're coming to the eShop, and the first one is the new Resident Evil game, which is getting some good previews.
I did hear about that.
Yeah. Actually, that's weird because speaking of Resident Evil, they just announced Resident Evil 6 like an hour ago.
I know. There's a new logo and everything else too that they've leaked or announced. I don't know. It's always gaming industry is kind of hard to tell if it's a leak or an announcement.
It's both. Like they had a EB or sorry for you Americans, or I guess it's GameStop here now too.
Yeah, I think GameStop took over EB.
Yeah, but they had like some GameStop promotional material, so.
Oh, I see.
But yeah, I can. The process is the same as any sort of other system. It's just weird that Nintendo treats demos as if they're losing money. Like the way I see it is, we're giving.
So if you download a demo,
mm-hmm.
then if Nintendo pulls it, do they have like, if you're connected, can they like pull it off your system kind of thing, or it's like as long as you get it in there, say it's a 2-week window that it's available, then you have it forever.
That's the funny thing with these new 3DS demos. I just read this before we started recording. There's a weird countdown. Every time you launch the demo, it ticks down, and you have 30 times you can launch that demo before it becomes inaccessible.
Really?
Yeah, it is super weird. And a lot of people say, like, when are you ever going to launch a demo 30 times? But that's, like, just cutting Nintendo way too much slack. Like, they don't trust us.
Exactly, and it seems like, well, why would you have to take a demo away? Like, I mean, it's not like some kind of software where, you know, like, you use it 30 times, and then after that, like, you could be, say it's like, I'm thinking specifically Adobe Illustrator, because I just had this making our logo, but, like, you can launch that for 30 days and then no more, because it's like, well, you can keep using that program over and over and over again. Whereas, like, with a game demo, it's like, once you beat it, then you've beaten it. And if you want to go back and play like that little teeny tiny bit of the game over and over again, like that should be your prerogative. Like, I think that it's really weird for Nintendo to try to pigeonhole you into only launching it, like, even though, yes, for a demo, launching something 30 times is, you know, probably enough to get to figure out whether you want it or not. But it's just like, why would you do that, Nintendo? Why? There's no reason there.
Like, I could see if it was like Tetris or Bejeweled, where like that a snippet of gameplay is literally the whole game.
It's the whole game, yeah.
Yeah, but playing half an hour of a Resident Evil game, you, in that half hour, you're going to know whether you want to buy it or whether you never ever want to play it again. So why, again, personally, I would never launch a demo more than 30 times unless it was like a demo for Tetris or Bejeweled and I was trying to cheat the system. But like, it bothers me, but it doesn't bother me. It's just, it's weird. It's so weird. Another story, actually speaking of Nintendo, I don't know if you heard of the Super Mario crossover project.
I hadn't until you posted this in the show notes, and then I watched the video, and then I went and played the game, and I was like, this is amazing. I totally went and played Mario as Link, and it was just the best thing ever, except it took me a while to get used to the controls, but it was so much fun.
Yeah, so I guess the second one's going to be, I say launching with quotations, because it is... They would never be able to sell it. There's too much copyright infringement here, but it's
yeah, it's just it's a Flash-based online internet browser game.
Exactly.
We should probably mention that first.
Yeah.
This is not from Nintendo.
No. But the only reason it relates to Nintendo is because I think it's I don't know whether it's a straight-up remake of a Super Mario game or if it's just like Super Mario-themed and you play as different characters. So you can play as...
Yeah, I haven't gotten far enough in it. It's definitely like the first level of Mario, but I haven't gotten far enough in it to tell. But from the video that's on joystick, it looks like it's like... I recognized every single level that they showed in the video. So it looks like it could be just an entire remake that you can play with all these different characters.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to playing as Link. I actually never played as Link in the first one. It was weird because I was going through it as Mario, and I'm like, yeah, this is a sweet Flash Mario game, and then, you know, then I stopped playing. But the second one looks cool. Playing as Samus looks especially cool. Playing as Link looks cool too, but there's a lot of characters in there.
Yeah, and I didn't realize when you're playing with Link, if you're using his sword instead of jumping on things, you have to hit them multiple times. So the first time I was just like, ha, with my sword. And then it didn't die, and then it killed me. And I was like, oh. And then the next time I was like, ha, ha. And then I still died. And then I was like, how many times do I have to hit this freaking thing? Because it keeps, it's the mushroom, it keeps walking at you. And then so, yeah, I hit it 3 times. And I was like, ah, there we go. Moving on. Now I can jump over the first pipe.
Yeah, so that'll be out sometime this year before the summer, I believe. And it'll be interesting to follow up on. Check it out.
So, yeah, I think that brings us into what we're playing, which I just said I played this Super Mario crossover thing, which was super cool. But another thing that I played was Skyrim. And guess who got 5 achievements like she said she would? Yay. It's Jocelyn. And, yeah, I'm pretty psyched about it. So I'm up to 35 out of 50 now. Still under 600 gamer points, though, so I still have the really, really, really big ones left to do, like the hitting level 50 and the, I think I still haven't restored the Thieves Guild, which is annoying. All those stupid little, go change the numbers in this book over here, now go to another town and change the numbers in that book over there.
Ugh.
Blah. So, but what I did do is I went through the companion quest line and I went from start to finish in one night. It actually wasn't nearly as long as I thought it was going to be.
Mm.
And so I got the 2 achievements that are tied to that one, which are Blood Oath and Glory of the Dead. And then I got married, finally.
Congratulations. Was there
any dead people
that showed up?
I don't think any dead people showed up. There's been dead people show up?
Yeah, that's a bug. Well, it's been fixed for months probably, but like there's a bug where... the way the wedding system works is that a bunch of people get invited, and then you're like transported to the wedding. So if you like kill a guy that's invited, and you kill a guy that's invited, and he shows up, and the body just like shows up, and then everyone freaks out, and the wedding gets canceled.
Oh.
It's pretty awesome.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, there was a couple of conversation options when you're actually going through the ceremony, and it's basically like, I do, or I just can't do this anymore. And it's like this big emotional outburst thing to cancel the wedding.
Awesome.
And I was like, I should probably just say I do and get the achievement because, you know, I've held out long enough. Brynjolf is never going to come around. Bastard.
Yeah, he's not cool.
He just totally won me over with calling me lass in his like Scottish type accent, and I was like, oh, heart. But yeah, the dude I did marry is one of the companions, so he's like super good at fighting, and he made me dinner. So very easy to please.
It's true, listeners. The way to a woman's heart is through her stomach.
At least this woman.
Yeah, you learn how to cook, you're set. You know, just luckily I don't know how to cook.
Iron or do dishes or vacuum.
Yeah, I can't do that. I do dishes for on occasion. I'm bad at housework. The only thing I can keep clean is like my desktop on my computer. That's all I'm good
I'm
at.
I'm awful at keeping my computer clean.
We'll see.
But anyway, yeah, I also got the, we're tangenting again. But I also got the Hero of the People achievement, which is kind of a big one. That was the doing 50 miscellaneous quests. So I think I was up to 46 or 47 without even realizing it. And then I was like, oh, there's an achievement for this. So I just did a couple of other little ones. Except one of the miscellaneous ones that I did, it was, I think you're like looking into murders in one of the towns or something. I think it's in Markoth or something. The one that's like way out to the Never Eat, Try to Beat West. Shut up.
That just happened live.
I know.
I do that all the time, but not live when I'm recording a podcast. So I guess I just, you know, I don't I sit there and go, never eat shredded wheat with my fingers. I always did it in my head.
I waved my hand around.
Yeah.
Which is really, really bad considering the job I do for a living. I should not have to do that, but still, like, every day.
I just look for the moss and where it's growing on the tree. That's how I figure out.
Which is really funny because it'll all be covered in snow right now, so you just must get lost all the time.
I am like a little puppy dog in the middle of Toronto traffic, just like, where am I?
Where's the moss?
How come I don't have a walk signal?
So anyways, I was in this western town, and you were like investigating murders, and you had all these people, like Stormcloak guards, and I don't know if everybody knows, but I went through the whole rebellion, finished that quest line, and I, you know, was the hero of Skyrim and on the Stormcloak side. So they're all supposed to like me. Mm-hmm. And they were like yelling at me for like poking my nose in where it didn't belong, and I was like, I'm just trying to finish this miscellaneous quest to help this dude. And then at the end of the quest, they all just like attacked me, and then there's like bounties on my head because I'm just trying to like slash my way out of the city. I'm like, I don't want to kill you. I thought we were buds. So yeah, I was just like, so now I can't go back to that city, or all the guards will just like descend on me, which is kind of annoying. But at the same time, eventually I am going to do the there's like a, I think it's like, it's not the Master Criminal achievement, but there's another one. I think like Wanted or something. No, Wanted is the Break Out of Prison one. Can't remember. There's one about having $1,000 or 1,000 gold bounty on your head in each one of the holds. So that was going to be my last one, because I kind of figured that if I walk into every city and just like murder someone, that pretty much the game's just going to be unplayable after that. So that's the one I'm getting last.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just going to, that reminded me of something. I'll talk about that later, to do with a certain demo we play.
Uh-huh. And then the last achievement I got was Artificer, I guess that's how you say it. It's the one where you have to enchant an item and smith an item and make a potion. So I did those. because I actually hadn't done them up until then. I'd just been going on quests and not actually ever doing that. And then I was like, oh, hey, I can improve my armor. Oh, hey, I can make potions. I don't just have to find them everywhere.
Yeah. Now, do you find you're using those potions a lot? Have you kicked up the difficulty to actually require the potions, or?
I have. A lot of the magic and health ones I've been using on, because now I've started doing the Mage's College quests. And so I find I run out of magic really, really quick because I'm trying to do it like and play like a mage instead of just, I mean, if I went in there like dual wielding my one hand swords and then I just, it'd be way too easy. So I've been trying to just use my magic to go through dungeons. Man, is that hard.
Hmm.
So I've been using a lot of the health and magic regeneration ones.
I really need to get back to Skyrim.
You do. Did you do what I told you to do? Did you cheat?
I didn't because and the only reason I bring it up is because I saw today that there's another patch coming. They're going to be releasing the beta patches on PC. So I think when the next one launches, I'll give it a shot. I really just need to sit down and give it a shot. There's just so much going on.
Oh, I know what else happened to me today that hasn't happened since I updated on the Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
I got a guard come up to me and tell me how he used to be an adventurer until he took an arrow in the knee.
I still haven't patched that out, eh? It's a bug,
well,
right?
Well, they did. Because it used to happen pretty much every time you walked up to a guard. In any city, it didn't matter. It was just, you know, they spat that line out at you. And ever since the update, I haven't gotten it at all. So I assumed that they just took it out of the game. So, yeah, I was walking around today and I finally got it. And I was like, yes!
You know,
I just got memed. Woot.
This is a free idea, Bethesda. On before April 1st, is to not make it too suspicious, and also to make sure everyone has the patch by then. Like maybe middle of March, release a patch, like mandatory patch, and you know, spit out like you know, backwards dragons are back. but it should make on April 1st, everybody who comes up to you says, in the guard's voice, like you know, that meme. The meme that shall remain nameless. I think that would be hilarious.
That would be great.
Free idea. Or you could patch in on April 1st. Your character just has an arrow in its knee.
Forever. It just doesn't go away.
For the day. It just doesn't go away. I think that would be hilarious.
I always find it funny when I'm riding my horse and I take arrows and then I have like an arrow sticking out of my head and I'm still riding my horse and my health is, you know, it goes down a little bit, but you know, my health is pretty high now. So it's like I take an arrow to the side of the head and I'm still fine and just riding along with an arrow sticking out of my head. Gosh, Skyrim.
I would prefer like if an arrow hits you in the head, you just like fly off your horse.
Well, you should. Yeah. It should at least throw you off the horse.
Mm-hmm. Really. Not kill you, but
at least, you know, dehorse you. Demount you? Unmount you.
Dehorse you. What are you, a minotaur or whatever? A centaur. Oh my god, my lower horse body is gone. I've been dehorsed.
Yeah, something like that.
Minotaur. Jeez.
Fantasy. So yeah, that's been my my Skyrim experience this week. So I think for next week... Well, actually, it won't be next week. It'll be the week after because we have a surprise for you next week. But we'll get to that later. So actually, yeah, if we're not going to be recording another one like this for 2 weeks, then I'm going to say I'm going to do another 5 achievements. Suck it, Skyrim. I'm coming for you. Okay, if you're going to say pew pew, you have to do it louder.
What? Oh, no. It doesn't really
Speaking
work.
Speaking of Star Wars.
Nice.
Who's been
nice
playing
transition.
Star Wars?
So I know some of the people that I play Star Wars with are might be listening to this podcast.
Hello.
They're gonna hate me for this because I do this every time I have an play an MMO. Yeah, I have a main that I start with friends, and then I get bored, and I start a new character, and I'm an altaholic, really. Like I'll just keep restarting, but. I started a smuggler, and I'm really enjoying it. The cool part about it is that it's got such a non-MMO feature with, like, the snap-to-cover system.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like, you hit a button, and it's called go to cover, and your character will either crouch, and depending on your level, like, this weird holographic defense thing will come up in front of you. Or you can see like a green version of yourself, like a preview of where you would snap to cover. And if you click that, like your character will do this cool roll and then get into cover, and you can like queue up an attack after that, like, and like, you know, he just rolls to cover and then it's really cool. And I'm really just digging the story more than the Inquisitor. The story's cool. Like, you start out with a ship, and this isn't I'm not spoiling anything before like level 2. But you get there and you're like, oh, you do your stuff, then oh my god, you've been betrayed and your ship is stolen, you know, because they got to take your ship away. But it's like I'm playing it as if I'm like, you know, a Han Solo type character, where, of course, why wouldn't you, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you're a badass. That thing. All you care about is the credits, but you won't do bad things to get credits. Like, you won't kill somebody for a few extra credits. You won't put people in harm's way. Like, for example, I just did a quest where you're supposed to get 7 slave collars for a senator. And you know what he's going to do with those slave collars. He's going to make some amateur video with these slave collars for his slaves. And it's just, it's not kosher to me, and I don't really want to see that. So I, like, give the collars over to the guard, and he's like, oh, you did a good thing. Here's the standard pay. And then, obviously, I'm Han Solo, so I'm like, you don't think you could throw an extra my way? And he says, nope, that's standard protocol pay. And I'm like, damn it. I did the right thing. I can't see good people suffer. You know, but I can be an asshole sometimes. Like, I'm quick-witted, and I like to, like, say, hey, you suck. Give me my credits.
So then the smuggler is on the Jedi side, right?
Yeah, it's a Republic character. And
Republic character, sorry.
It's weird, because I've found that none of the bad choices really result in anyone dying.
Mm.
That's not true. The first Flashpoint has a pretty screwed-up Battlestar Galactica-type thing happen where I won't ruin it, but it's just like, that's way too mean, I can't do that. But someone in my party chose it, totally killed a bunch of people. I'm like, you, I'm never. And then I won the next role, which is totally backwards, and it's like as if a good person was talking to someone who just did something really bad, and I say, I don't think what we just did was right. So I think it was really cool in the sense that like one character chose to do something extremely evil. And then I won the role next time to be the guy who says, I don't agree with what you just decided to do. Like, that was totally wrong.
Uh-huh.
It's cool. But I am going to go back to my Sith character because the dark side must prevail.
I was going to say, have you been enjoying, because I know you're like me and we normally play good characters, so have you been enjoying, like, killing people just because they look at you funny? Like, I know that kind of sounds weird, but the playing the evil Sith side of things and making the dark choices, are you enjoying doing that?
Yeah, because I think being evil is really interesting in Star Wars, because you can be you're evil no matter you pick the good or the bad side of the Force.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference between the two is like, and this example has been used over and over again, but the difference is like you kill someone fast, like show mercy and kill them instantly, or you drag it out and kill them by like lightning, you know? And I do like every time that I end up killing someone, I'm like, bzzz, I'm like killing them with my force lightning. And but I'm a mage character, so I needed a break from being like a mage type character.
Mm.
But then again, a smuggler, it's kind of like a mage DPS, because, you know, it's blasters, right? It's kind of the same thing. But I'm just digging the story more over there. But I do want to continue playing my Sith, because I want to get into some higher level content.
Cool.
Sure.
So how many levels do you have left on your Sith before you max out?
I'm only like level 27, so I'm just...
Oh, is that it?
Yeah, I haven't gotten very far. I got a
smuggler. You get bored easily.
I know. I got my smuggler to level 13, and even last night I was playing, and I was kind of getting a little... Yeah, but I'm past the point where I'm going to start a new character again. I'm going to focus on my Sith for a bit.
Cool. I look forward to hearing more about that. So my favorite part of the complete and total lack of releases right now, or the doldrums of winter, as we called it last week, was that gives me a chance to play some of the old stuff I didn't necessarily finish, or, you know, like I get to get my hands on some titles. And you've got down here in the show notes that you played From Dust, which I'm super pumped to hear about what you thought of that game. So do you want to talk about that for a bit?
I hated it.
No, what?
I'm kidding. Oh.
really got me, man.
Yeah, I know. I'm a bad person. I was playing, I had purchased it in the holiday sale, I believe. And I hadn't touched it since I bought it. And I wanted to play it really badly. And I got into it, and I am about halfway through. And I think it's how most people felt about the game, is that it's really, really cool, but they just, I think they layer too much complexity. And it just doesn't, it got more fun and more fun and more fun. And then I hit a plateau, and I think now it's kind of starting to go down again, because it's, you have to worry about so much stuff. I think at this point, like, I'm juggling tidal waves and the land is shifting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like juggling water in, you know, and it's like if I do it wrong, like I'm able to settle one village and then it, like, another one gets flooded. And I'm at that point where I'm just like, okay, it was really fun, but I need to take a break. I am planning to go back to it. It's a pretty quick game.
It is, yeah.
Later half now.
I think I played through. I played through it in 2 days, and then I got to the last level, and I felt kind of the same thing as you. Like, there was some really frustrating times, but then I got to the last level, and it's almost like it's timed. And because, like, you need, sand to do some stuff and then, like, lava to do other stuff. But if you don't do the lava things fast enough, then it just, like, stops working, basically. Like, it tells you, like, there's just no more lava, so you can't build up your other stuff, but it keeps, like, flooding.
Yeah.
So you're just like, well, now I can't do this because I have no more building material. All there is water. And I can't, you know, like, build up the locations of the totem poles or whatever to settle, because they're now underwater because it's flooded so much. So it's just, so I haven't actually beat the game. I have the last level still to do, and I've tried it a few times, and I'm just like, ah, this is frustrating. And I think it might be easier if I had it on PC, because I have it on Xbox, and the controls are, they're not bad, but they're just not, like, fast. And I think if I just had a mouse and I could just be like, click, 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 it would be easier than using the control sticks. But
the mouse control feels wonky.
Oh, really?
The PC version has gotten a lot of flack for not being as good as it could be. And that's the reason I waited to play it. Like, I didn't buy it on Xbox. I downloaded the demo. I'm like, yeah, I'm sold. I want to buy this game. And then when it came up for PC, there was just nonstop negative for it. Like, I'm just like, fine, all right, I won't play it, I guess. But I mean, it's an improvement, but, like, they have stopped attempting to make the game as good as it could be. It could be a lot better on PC.
Right.
That's not to say the mouse is not a better control of the game, like, especially once it gets really complex in the later levels.
So, yeah, on top of From Dust, which I haven't actually picked up and played in a long, long time, but one of the other, I'm still doing the Portal 2 co-op stuff with Joel, so that's so much fun. It's just, it's awesome. We're having a great time, except for when we got to, I think we've finished it now, but we got to the section with the light bridges. He's not a fan of the light bridges.
I remember
which, those. Yeah, I don't mind them. I think they're pretty cool, but he was running across, like, my portals were holding the light bridge, and he was running across this, like, big thing of water, and then I just moved the light bridge, and he fell and died, and I laughed. I thought it was hilarious. Him, not so much.
I can imagine. You're a bad partner in science.
I know, I'm such a bad partner in science, but I thought I was actually pretty good, because I only did it once. Oh, no, that's a lie. I definitely did it twice. Once wasn't with a light bridge, though. Once was, I had to hold a switch so that it would keep the, or no, I didn't have to hold the switch. I just had to hit the switch and then not hit the switch again. And I totally hit the switch again and dropped him in the water because the platform underneath fell out from under him.
Oh. You're
And then he was so nice because then he's like, well, you go across and get it this time. And I was like, okay. And I was like, he's totally going to drop me in the water. And so I went across and got the cube and then came back and he didn't drop me in the water.
Yeah. See, that's how he's just showing you how it's done.
I need to learn how to be a better partner.
Yes.
It's just so funny because when you drop them, then on your screen, it just like pops up with this, like their character all like exploded and they're like, wah! And a little arrow to where it happened. And I'm like, I totally know where it happened. I just did that.
Evil. That's
but not... yeah, so I'm having a great time.
I'm sure he's enjoying it.
I'm sure he is when I'm not dropping him in the water.
Yeah.
But yeah, the actual lack of releases in the winter, it's actually not as short, not as long as it feels like it is. Because, I mean, there's so many demos coming out right now for games that are coming. Like, I mean, the Kingdoms of Amalur Reckoning is coming out. The full game comes out February 7th, and the demo's out now. So, I mean, like, and the Mass Effect 3 comes out February 14th, the demo that we already talked about, and the full game is in March 6th. So those are really big titles, and, you know, they're coming out pretty soon. So, I mean, we really just have, like, January that we have to get through. So
yeah. January's flying, though.
It is flying, yeah. I've been playing so much stuff.
Yeah, I can wait till February 7th. I think that is fairly close. That's, like, 2 weeks away.
Mm-hmm.
Three weeks, I guess, if you want to like get
technical.
Technical, yeah.
Can't actually count weeks.
Yeah. I'll just delay this episode. Delay it by a week so I'm right. I have that power, Jocelyn.
You do.
I do. But I wouldn't do that to our fine listeners.
So, Saints Row 3, finished it yet?
I did. So
did you?
Yeah, twice.
Really?
No. well, sort of. For a lot of people who may know, like, I've been kind of... I started Get Glue. This is related. Don't worry. Get Glue this week and started checking into games. And really I really like it because it encourages... It gives me an excuse to tell people what I'm playing. So I've been tweeting that I've been Get Gluing, I guess, if that's how it works. That sounds so bad.
It sounds really, really bad.
Yeah, okay. I've been tweeting through Get Glue that I've been playing Saints Row 3 on the treadmill, and a lot of people are like, how the hell do you do that? But it actually works really well, and I got my new treadmill, spent all Sunday setting that up. That was a pain, but no help, and it hasn't fallen apart yet, so that's good. but I played the whole way through Saints Row 3 on the treadmill, and I think my final tally in hours was like 12 hours. And,
you played the whole way through in 12 hours? That doesn't seem like a whole lot of gameplay.
Yeah, I've done it says I'm 75% complete the game.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's not...
So that means you could, in theory, get 100% of that game completed in, like, under 20 hours. That doesn't seem like much. Although, I mean, I'm in Skyrim world right now, which, like, I think I've played 150-ish hours, so... Any game that's like under 300 hours is now dead to me.
The game is pretty shallow when it comes to its content. Like it, the way it works is it'll introduce a side mission in the main story, and then like you can now play these in the side missions. And I never found them so interesting that I wanted to go out and play the non-story side missions. I mean, it was supported by like some funny stuff, but all the good stuff is in story missions, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when I beat the main campaign, by the way, this game is worth playing through just to do the final mission. The one final mission is just hilarious. The way it works is, I'm not going to spoil it, but like at the end of the game, you're given a choice. And depending on which one you pick, you go to a different like final act of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as you beat that act, it rolls over and you can start from this before you started the mission. And I went back in and finished it, and I beat both endings. One is definitely better than the other, but it'll be interesting to see, like the way they finish the game on both endings. They kind of set it up for a sequel, obviously.
Oh, really?
But the way the game
is going to be a Saints Row 4?
I would assume so. But it'll be interesting to see like where they kind of go with it. Like, one, the ending I didn't like has more of a story thing to it, like a "we'll get you next time" kind of thing, or, you know, "the ball's in our court now" kind of thing. I don't know. They'll release a fourth.
No spoilers! No spoilers!
I don't want to spoil it because, like, literally.
Not that
the
I'm
best,
ever going to play, but someone listening might, so.
The best part about the game was the ending, but the problem with that is that after I beat it, I was still running, and I jumped back in, and I just had no interest in continuing to play it. So I think my next treadmill game, I'll continue playing Alice.
Yeah. So when you play on the treadmill, are you playing on your PC with a controller?
Yeah, like I take the treadmill, I park it in front of the PC, and I have a wireless controller. And like, you know, when you run, your arms do the whole thingy, like the motion. You know how running works.
I know how running works.
Okay,
yes.
Good. So anyways, when you run, your arms go back and forth kind of thing. So when I'm holding the controller, my elbows still do the same motion, but I kind of like the controller kind of go like bobs back and forth. You'd think that would really like mess with your head when you're trying to run and watch the screen at the same time. But like I said, I just got really good at it. And it is a lot. It makes running so much easier. Like I don't think about
it
how
it seems like
I am.
A great idea, because I know like sometimes like you watch TV when you're running, but it's not the same. I feel like if I was involved in a game, I could just run for hours and I wouldn't even notice.
Exactly. And really what I do is I pick a game that kind of doesn't require a lot of attention, and Alice is kind of borderline in that sense, but the new treadmill I have is actually quieter. The tread is not as loud and the motor's not as loud, so I can have my game at the same level it was before without upsetting the upstairs. Although I talked to her today and she said, I hear boom, boom. That's not what she sounds like, but to protect her identity, I hear boom, boom. And it's my subwoofer. I need to.
Oh,
subwoofer.
See.
Subwoofer? We had this.
She complains a lot, eh?
Well, I mean, I only see her once in a while, so we have to gut it all in at the same time.
Oh.
I was the nice person and brought it up because I know it's too loud because she turns her music up and she knocks on my door every time. I obviously don't go answer it because I'm on a treadmill, but
yeah.
I just said, like, I have a feeling that I'm playing games too loud when I'm on the treadmill. And she's like, oh, that's what you're doing? I thought you were just playing games. And I'm like, no, I'm actually bettering myself. And you try to stop me, you're actually being evil. So
don't be evil is the moral of the story.
And she did. She
and
did
leave
say
me the
like,
hell alone.
She did say that she's really good about it. She said, well, if you're on the treadmill and it's only for an hour every other night or so, I guess it's fine. And I said, well, I realize that when I do it when I get home from work, dinner time is not the best time to be loud.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, I can try to make it quieter, but I like what I'm doing. So, yeah. And quickly, speaking of demos, before we move on to the Kingdoms of Amalur talk, I want to quickly mention Cube. It's a
yes,
new indie Steam game.
I think looks so good, but I haven't actually gotten my hands on it yet.
It's a lot of fun. I picked up the demo.
sound very convincing
there. I am.
There.
I was kind of waiting for you to see if you were going to jump in there, so I just was like, I was going really slow. but it's Cube. It's like an acronym, but it's spelled like Cube, but without a C, it's a Q, in case you're trying to look it up. But it's all
We can link it in the show notes.
Yeah, but it's all over the news. There's no way you can miss it. But I downloaded the demo just to get a taste, because I don't know if I mentioned I'm trying not to buy a game in January.
Yeah.
Personal challenge. So far, so good.
I think it's dumb, but...
well, it's part of the whole winter like cleansing, you know? I'm trying to get through, you know, my hibernation nuts, you know? Like, all fall, I just looking at these Steam sales, and I stuff them in my mouth, and then go take them back to my tree, and this is all an analogy.
Ryan likes stuffing his mouth with nuts.
Yes.
That's what I got out of that sentence.
Squirrel, me, right? Nuts, Steam games. Mouth, hard drive? I don't know. No, tree would be hard drive. Mouth would be like the time it takes
your internet connection.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know if I want to continue this.
This
but anyways,
breaking down a little.
It sounded good on paper, but anyways, the stuff I've collected over the winter and just kind of getting around to it. But the reason I don't want to buy any games in January is because I have a list of them. I have tons that I need to play. But anyways, Cube. It's really cool, like Portal 1 esque game where, and the reason I say Portal 1 because it's very clean. It's very like, it's like you're stuck in a test chamber, and the whole point is you have these gloves and you use them to interact with these colored cubes.
Cubes?
All the whole room is made up of cubes, but there's these colored ones and they do special things. So let's say, for example, the red ones you can raise or lower up to 3 times in one direction. So 3 up or 3 down. Mm-hmm. So you can kind of like make a staircase to get to the top with using these 3 red cubes. And then, you know, they have the yellow ones that kind of act, they work as, they come in sets of 3 and they work on staircases. So whichever one you click on goes the highest. They have blue ones that you can like set as like kind of, springboards. And it's a puzzle game. And unfortunately the demo gives you a brief taste of the easy stuff. Like just the easy stuff. Like you don't get into anything that would make you think, man, this game's, you know, like Portal 2 or Portal 1, when you solved a puzzle, it made you feel really smart.
You did, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm sure Cube will do the same thing. And I'm not, but I can't say because I haven't played past the demo. But I do plan on picking it up next time it goes on sale. I think as shallow as that sounds, I kind of want to wait till it goes on sale. Because again, I need an excuse to buy it.
Right. I'm trying also not to buy things before I get through everything, because I have a lot of, same as you, a lot of games that I picked up on Steam sales, especially through the holidays. Plus, I mean, I still have Arkham City to beat, and, you know, I have a couple other titles sitting over there, I think. Well, I mean, other than Zelda. Although, I will say, I've been listening to the soundtrack for Zelda in my car on the way to and from work, and it's actually making me want to pick up Zelda again. So I think that I'm... Yeah, I think as my love affair with Skyrim kind of comes to an end, and the closer I get to 100% of Skyrim, the more I think that I want to give Zelda another shot. So stay tuned for that, listeners, because that might actually happen sometime soon.
And I was talking about the soundtrack. I know we've been over this, that you don't... I keep saying Zelda's good, and you're like, I don't know. But the soundtrack, I ripped that to my laptop, and I listened to it like nonstop. I'm a fan of video game music, and I know a lot of people that I've, especially my old roommates, like, I don't get how you can just listen to that crap over and over again.
I love video game music.
I do too. I find it helps me. This is gonna sound really weird and close to like you need to go get help kind of suggestion, but you know, when I'm really into a game like Skyrim, I have the soundtrack on my iPod, so I'll just listen to it, and it's like, it's sort of half and half, like, man, I need to go home and play it, but also, like, I'm experiencing a part of Skyrim, and I feel like I'm content just where I am right now, because I can't be playing Skyrim. Does that make sense?
Yes. It does.
Isn't that weird?
Yes, you need help.
yeah, but I did that with Zelda, like, and I did that with, to get psyched up for the Uncharted game, I downloaded the Uncharted 3 soundtrack, and I listened to that. I'm weird. You know.
So yeah, but the last thing that we played, and it's something that we both played, so this is exciting, is the demo for Kingdoms of Amalur: The Reckoning. So, why don't you start us off there, Ryan? What did you how'd you decide to play?
I think you should start, cuz I have a feeling we're not going to be on the same boat.
okay, so I picked a chick, obviously. I almost always pick chicks. I don't know why.
That shouldn't be weird, right? Like, you are a girl, well, last week established.
I know, but I've been really, really trying to kind of take myself out of games and, you know, not just play like me and, you know, make, like, evil decisions, because in real life, I would never make the evil decisions. So I was, I don't know why, but I still always, always, always pick a chick, so... Maybe I'll play a dude.
Chicks can be evil.
Well, I know chicks can be evil, but, you know, generally, like, I try to mirror myself in games, and I'm trying to get away from that. That's all I mean by that. I know chicks can be evil. But...
Well, I mean, if you ask high school version of Ryan, man, he'll tell you how evil chicks can be. Am I right? High school Ryan. He's not. He doesn't have a microphone right now.
Oh, okay, it's like, I'm just going to stay quiet and see how long he talks to himself.
Oh, I don't know what's going on today. I think it's just a near-death
experience.
You're in a
mood. It's kind of funny.
I'm in a mood.
So the character that I picked is Jick, and she's a Dokalfer, I guess is how you say it. I don't know, but it's the magic and diplomacy one. So it's like basically I picked her because I thought it would sound interesting because it's like she it sounds like she's going to be able to kind of like talk herself out of stuff instead of like just fighting her way out of stuff. And I'm also trying to do that in games too, where I'm like, I'm not just a hack and slash fighter person. Like I'm more magey or talky or whatever. So she had more stealth skills and persuasion, like speechcraft type skills. And then, but then I got to the next screen and you had to like pick your patron goddess or god or whatever. And so then I was like, uh-oh, but what if I actually have to fight? Then I'm screwed. So then I picked one that gave me, my patron gives me +5 health and +1 chance of a critical hit. So I'm like, well, if it comes down to it, at least hopefully my god has got my back. But we'll have to see how that actually works out for me.
But so yeah, did you enjoy the demo?
I didn't get all the way through the demo. But what I did get was friggin' Mass Effect 3 stuff. I was like, it just popped up on my screen and it's like, you've unlocked armor for Mass Effect 3. And I was like, I did what in the what now? Oh my god! I had no idea that that was a perk to playing this demo. I was just totally pumped for the demo and the game in itself, and then when it was tied to Mass Effect 3, I was like, this is the best thing ever.
If you beat the demo as well, you unlock, like, I think a gun. If you unlock the armor when you started, you get the gun when you complete it.
Nice.
And basically how the demo works is that, as far as I can tell, there's no save slot. As soon as you quit out, you have to start a new character.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, it's annoying.
Aww.
It's a weirdly designed demo because as soon as you get to the end, you get to a certain point in the questing, it says, all right, the game's open to you. You have 45 minutes. And I can't just quit because it was like midnight when I was playing. And I can't just quit. I'm like, I literally have to like run around for 45 minutes. Like I enjoyed the demo to a certain extent. But like, so now I have to play through it again if I want that gun, which is probably like... It would be stupid to play through and get that stuff.
Oh, so when you have to play through that 45 minutes then. You can't just be like, oh, I don't really want to run around the open world. I finished the quest that I can do, so I'm just going to go. You don't get the gun at the end of the quest. You get it at the end of the 45 minutes.
I didn't get a prompt saying that I unlocked the gun, so.
Oh, well, that's kind of good to know. Then you know that you have to like not only play the time of the demo, but you also have to play that extra 45 minutes. That's good to know. I'll have to set aside a serious amount of... Because I thought that when I... Because I went through, I created my character, I played for probably 20-ish minutes, I guess. Like, yeah, I think I played for about 20 minutes of actual like questing gameplay stuff. And it was fun. I thought the combat was cool. I played it on PC. I think I'm probably going to get it for Xbox, though, because I found the PC controls were a little bit meh. I didn't really like playing that way, so I think that I'm probably going to get it on the Xbox. But anyway, tangent.
I was just sorry to interrupt, but I was going to say that's not really a tangent because I was going to – because I saw you were playing it on PC, and I was going to ask you because – I was playing on Xbox, and I don't know whether it's like the console experience I'm not enjoying or like.
Really.
I don't know. I wasn't feeling it. I felt like the graphics were weirdly weird. Like they didn't.
Oh, I thought the graphics were pretty great actually. So
the environments were really nice. All the environments were great, but all the characters looked weird to me.
Huh?
Do they not look weird to you? Like they look.
Not really. Like weird how?
Like weird.
Define weird.
Weird bad. Like weird. Like.
Oddly shaped or pixely or unfinished.
I hate saying this because I'm not a designer. I'm not an artist. So I don't claim to do any better, but it feels kind of like the art, like the character models, like where their faces are. It seems like almost like WoW cinematic. Like,
oh,
kinda.
I totally thought I haven't even played WoW, but I've seen like screenshots and videos and stuff like that with WoW. And that was the first thing that I thought, too, is it looks like I'm playing with characters from WoW.
Yeah, and I wasn't a fan. Like, the lip syncing was awful. It was like a dummy, like, just... You know, that's the sound of my mouth going up and down.
Oh. But the trailer looks so good, so I feel like the game itself is going to be good. But, yeah, that's... I don't know. I thought it looked okay. Like, I mean, I was totally fine with the way that the game looked and the way that it played. And what? How were your load times on the Xbox?
They were pretty good.
Yeah, because I found like my load times are super fast, and I'm used to Xbox Skyrim load times, so I mean everything is fast compared to that. So
They were fast.
yeah,
But again, like, I
that
wasn't
was the
digging.
only thing that I was thinking that maybe would make me, I mean, other than the controls, but like would make me not want to do it on the Xbox would be like if I have to sit around and wait for 30 seconds every time I walk through a door like I do in Skyrim, then, you know, like I do
Oh, no.
not want to play it on Xbox. But if it's going to be super fast on PC, then I can probably work with the controls and I'll just get used to it and stuff. But I need a new mouse anyways because my mouse in general is not very sensitive, so I need to get an upgrade, I think. I've decided.
You need to go to Walmart and pick up a wireless receiver for your PC, and then you could just connect. What kind of Xbox controllers do you have? They're not the wired ones, are they?
No, they're wireless.
Okay, well, you need to go grab like a wireless receiver or even just like a wired controller for your computer and play with the 360 controller.
I could probably just do that now, couldn't
That because I was going to ask how it is on the PC, but because I was thinking like I wasn't I don't know. I was in a weird mindset. I was playing it. I started playing it at like 11 o'clock last night, and I do want to unlock the Mass Effect gun, as stupid as that sounds. So I
I?
am going to play
Oh,
the demo.
it's not stupid. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, well, I agree. But I am going to play through it again on the weekend. And again, my only gripe is that like I don't play a lot of console games anymore, so it kind of felt weird sitting on the couch and not being right up at the TV. Like you're kind of like 6 feet away, right?
Yeah.
So that might have been it. I felt like when I was on the Xbox, the motion blur was bothering me. Every time I moved the camera, like it just looked really blurry and not. I don't
Oh,
know.
really? Huh.
I just
That's
had this weird.
interesting.
And I'm gonna play it again. And but yeah, that and the characters, I wasn't digging the look of the characters. Just
You should
looked
probably try
cheap.
playing something else on the console that you already enjoy. Like maybe pick up Arkham City and do some challenge or something. And then after you're done that, then you'll be back in the console mindset and then try the demo and see if that makes a difference.
Okay. Well, I was gonna actually. Oh, and I should mention to you that you should download the demo on the Xbox because I don't really know how that armor works. Because if you're gonna be playing Mass Effect 3 on the Xbox, it might require.
I still haven't decided where I'm going to play Mass Effect 3. I don't know.
Don't you want to
But
carry
I.
your decisions in Mass Effect 2? Don't you want to carry them over?
I don't know. I
Did you
really
not
don't
save all
know.
your dudes?
What?
Did you not save all your dudes?
No, man. I lost that bitchy chick.
You're a bad commander.
Hey! What was her name? Miranda.
Oh, the
The.
hot chick.
Dude, she was a bitch and just whiny. Oh, I hated that chick. When she died, I was like, sweet.
The chick from Chuck.
From Chuck.
As TV show.
Oh, yeah. I was like, wow, you totally lost me there.
Yeah. But no, I played the crap out of Mass Effect 2. And I made a promise that I would play all the DLC. I even bought Mass Effect 2 DLC and have yet to touch it. And I determined to play it before March 6, which BioWare, I love you for releasing games during that time period because it's like happy birthday, I get to buy myself a game, which is really cool. Like Mass Effect 2 came out actually in January, but anyways. Yeah, I saved all my dudes in Mass Effect 2, and they were all cool, and we had a big pizza lunch party after we defeated the Reapers or whatever, and
I see. I tried. I tried really, really hard, and I just got sick and tired of, 'cause basically she and I guess Jack, the crazy biotic chick, had this fight. And it was just after I'd done the loyalty quest for, I think, Jack. And I was like, well, all right, I just finished making you loyal, so I'm not going to piss you off. So I pissed off Miranda. And then I did it. It was like right at the beginning of the game. Like, I literally, like, Jack was like the first one I went after. So I didn't have enough points, either way, Renegade or Paragon, to deal with the argument that way. So she just went off pissed, and then she like wouldn't talk to me. And every time I tried to talk to her, she just like would say this bitchy comment. And I was like, you know what? So I played the whole rest of the game and all the other conflicts. I made sure like I got my points way high up because I was trying to fix Miranda. So all the other conflicts I was able to mediate without having to actually get one of my other characters' loyalty back. But yeah, this whole time she was just being stupid and bitchy, and I ended up with like almost my entire Paragon thing full, and she still wouldn't talk to me. And I was like, well, you know what? I'm pretty sure you're just going to die in the final battle, and I've tried so hard and you're still being a bitch, so I don't care anymore. Go die. And then she did, and I was like, ha. If you just talked to me, we wouldn't have had this problem and you'd be alive right now.
The thing with I was actually going to suggest, you know, what we should do before Mass Effect 3 comes out is we should have like a Mass Effect 2 podcast. Like,
we should.
Because I was just about to go on a tangent. I realized, like, you know, we could actually probably have a whole show where we just talk about the Mass Effect series in preparation for Mass Effect 3. So I think we should table that. I think that would be a cool idea.
I think so. You should have stopped me before I went on my big Miranda rant.
Well, no, I didn't want to be like, shut up. This is a good idea. We should wait. And what I'm sure, like I said, like, we all have these stories with this game, and I'm pretty sure we can fill an entire episode. And it would actually give me an excuse to play the DLC, you know?
I think I have some DLC content on there, too, that I have to play. Because I think I downloaded some DLC because you got another character or something.
Zaid.
Yeah.
Zaid, the Australian gun hunter?
I think so. Maybe it was someone else. No, I think there was multiple DLCs that you could get to get different characters. But anyways, point is, I got some DLC stuff that I haven't played yet, and I haven't bought all the DLC stuff, so maybe that's what I'll do, is I'll buy some of that and play through it, and then we can do a podcast. Woot!
I think that's a great idea. All right, well, I guess back to Kingdom of Amalur, like...
Oh, yeah, right.
I'm still planning to buy it, but I'm really unsure as to what platform I want to buy it on, like whether between PC or an Xbox, and I would like to have another game on my Xbox to play.
See, yeah, I think I'm going to go with PC, especially if I can get my Xbox controller hooked up, because the only thing I didn't like about it was the controls. But yeah, I think if I can get my Xbox controller working, then I'm totally going to go with the PC version. Because, I mean, like, my PC is, it's pretty good. I have a comfy chair and I can just sit here and play, and my monitor's nice and my graphics card is really good. So I think I really need to play some kind of a game that takes advantage of all the power that I have sitting at my feet. So I think I'm gonna go with PC.
I'm the same way. Like I said, I just upgraded my computer and got these new handy dandy speakers or headphones. And I actually might just download the demo on Steam and play it. And maybe
free.
That's all I'll judge. Exactly. Well, I mean,
because I was thinking I was just gonna download it for Xbox and then play it on there too and see which one I liked better.
Yeah, and I like that. I think I'll pick it up day one as my first, like, yay, I made it through January purchase. I'm going to buy a $60 game. but I think I'd like to play it on – I think I'll go for PC as well, because I think the graphics will be better. The stability will be better.
Is there any multiplayer component to this?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's just single player.
Well, then, yeah, because I was going to say maybe that would influence the decision as well. But if there's no multiplayer, then, yeah, I'll probably just get it on PC. But
there's multiplayer in Mass Effect 3, though.
I know.
More on that later.
Yes.
In weeks to come.
Yep.
Don't go to IGN and read up on it. Wait for us to talk about it. Oh, Mass Effect. I need to pre-order that. Maybe. I don't know.
So, yeah, I guess that pretty much wraps up our what we've been playing talk and everything. So how about we move on to some listener feedback?
Yeah, that's actually a great idea. I'm sure people are tired of hearing us complain about Kingdoms of Amalur. Not complaining.
We didn't complain. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
I'm not trying to bring us back, but I will say, like, I really just didn't like the way the character looked. But I am going to probably pick it up. I'm going to try it on PC.
Cool.
Maybe we'll revisit that later on. But I liked it. For the most
Excellent. So we got a 5-star iTunes review in our U.S. store, which is exciting. Don't forget to go leave us reviews, guys, because then we'll read them on the show. So this one is called Great Start from Joy Ashby. And she says, nice to hear some new voices in the gaming community. Great start. I hope to hear a lot more from these two. Well, you will. Yep. As far as I'm concerned. I don't know about Ryan. Can't speak for him.
I could say if that I am going to be buying a new a podcast mic. So like, depending on how much are we paid per episode? All right. So how many times does it take for $0 to add up to however much it'll cost me to buy a new mic? That's how long I'll be doing this podcast for, until I can pay off the mic.
Right. That might take a long, long time then. So you're in luck, Joy. And we got some feedback on Twitter, too. One from Kev Knowers, who is Crazy Kev. And he says, listen to the first two episodes and enjoying them. Keep cranking it out. Again, we intend to.
There's a crank and, over here.
Hmm?
I just crank this crank in my desk, and then a new episode pops out.
It's just that easy.
That's how I edit. I put the files into this like meat grinder thing, and I just and MP3.
Nice. And so the last Twitter feedback we got was from Valerie Gravel, and she said, "Hey there, just wanted to say that I'm a podcast virgin. Just discovered yours, and I love it. Keep it up." Woo. So, dude, not only did we get a new podcast listener, but we brought someone into the world of podcasts. I think that's pretty fantastic. I feel pretty, pretty good about ourselves.
And she's Canadian as well. I didn't put that in there, but her Twitter profile says she's from Quebec, Canada.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. I think that's great. And I promise never to do a French ad. Now that I know we have we already had a French listener.
We did have a French listener, our friend Gregory over in France. So, yeah, no making fun of the French.
I hear people from France really don't like people from Quebec. I wonder if maybe they should write in and tell us.
I've heard that as well, yes. We need to hear from you too, Valerie and Gregory, about the French versus Quebec rivalry.
We have a new segment, French versus French. It's like spy versus spy, but it's like French versus French. You guys could record your own site. We could have a spin-off podcast.
I think after 5 episodes, we can't justify a spin-off podcast yet.
I'm just getting high on power because we just introduced somebody to the wonderful world of podcasting. Sorry, I'll bring myself down here, but I got a Facebook comment. I've been using GetGlue and checking into video games, and what happens is when I check into GetGlue, it posts to Twitter, then posts to Facebook. And I was writing about Saints Row 3, and a friend of mine from – actually, my older brother's friend from high school, who was on my Facebook, commented on the Saints Row 3 comment. That's totally like how Facebook works, like just a link of people. But I'm glad that I kept him around because he writes, best game I've played. Beat it on awesome, though you can never truly finish that game because it's like GTA. Saints Row the Third is the best. I guess it's called Saints Row the Third. He's actually right there. It's not Saints Row 3. And then he added another comment afterwards, which is the only reason we're including this, is also your podcast is awesome.
Yay!
And then that's from Mario Aguilar. And it's been a while since I talked to you, man, so if I pronounced your name wrong, I'm very sorry. But he actually listens to the podcast, so that's great.
You say that like you're shocked. someone listens to our podcast.
No, but I mean, that's actually, it's funny because I'm not shocked because I have heard from a few people that I didn't think had any interest in podcasting. And they said, well, I listen, you know, I had one person talk to me about the podcast and he actually suggested some content. So,
Cool. We'll have to talk about that off air then. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah, we can't use it.
Oh.
I already posted the comment in the notes, but you were right. It's not really gaming related. But this isn't. It's still cool that he listens, and it was an interesting article, though. Maybe we can talk about it in the future.
All right. So we didn't get any emails this week, but that's cool. Our feelings aren't totally hurt. Maybe a little, though.
Maybe.
Single tear. Single tear worthy. Single tear worthy.
I can't cry right now because we're recording and I'm a professional, but after this I'm gonna go get a tattoo of a single tear on my face.
I think that means that you killed someone, dude. You probably shouldn't do that.
This is one of those times where Ryan has no idea what he's talking about and then accidentally stumbles into something that's truly awful. And that's happened to me on multiple occasions in this episode and throughout my life, where I'm just so shaded from reality that I mentioned something, and it's like, Ryan, you just like said you want to kill a bunch of people. Like, really? I didn't know that's what that meant. I just figured that, you know, literally like a tear. I didn't realize it was like
the gang thing.
A notch in your killing belt. I don't know.
Yep.
Sorry. I really need to research these jokes.
You do.
None of this is scripted. That's our problem. If this was a scripted show, I'd know by now.
I could at least stop you before it comes out of your mouth.
Well, we wouldn't have cut that because that was hilarious. The only reason it was funny is because Ryan didn't know what he was talking about.
As per usual. So, if you want to email the show, you can email us at info@gamersinpodcast.com. You can visit us on the web at www.gamersinpodcast.com or follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GIS Gamer. Ryan is at R. Murphy. And don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. And we also, which I always forget to mention, we have pages on Facebook and Google Plus as well. So if you want to follow us there, please do. I personally am on Google Plus all the time, and I really, really, really love putting posts up there because it gives me more than just 140 characters. So you can find links to all of those on our website, which is gamersinpodcast.com, not The Gamers Inn Podcast. I don't know where that takes you, but it's not to us. So quickly, before... What?
I was going to say we should scoop that up before some porn site takes it.
We should. I think I mess up and say The Gamers Inn Podcast all the time. So, yeah.
It's because our Twitter is The Gamers Inn.
I know.
Because Gamers Inn is already taken.
Jerks.
Don't go there. Don't go there.
Don't go there. Stick with us.
No, that's cool.
So before we go, I just wanted to give a quick shout out again to Greg for doing our awesome music. You can find him on Twitter at Sounds Influence. We'd also like to thank Joel Duggan of StarCrossed Online, who drew our Twitter avatars. And you can find him on Twitter at Joel Duggan or read his comic, which does updates every Monday. And he's at starcrossedonline.com. So thanks for staying at the game. I'm having serious issues tonight. I'm blaming my migraine this morning. My tongue's not working. Okay. Thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn. Tune in next week where we will have a special episode full of surprise awesomeness. Ooh, the suspense.
What's going to happen?
I don't know.
I don't. I do. But
but they don't.
They don't. And if your name is Leroy Jenkins, there's the door. Having chicken does not give you the right to run around the inn screaming like a maniac. 50 DKP minus, stupid paladin. Good night. Pretend you're running, and then you hit this small little pebble, and you just go... just a bloody mess, but somehow you hit this, like... You catch your stride again, and I think I did that. I just right back running at it.
The last, 10 minutes of our recording is just me being like...
I don't know how to talk anymore.
I got really excited too. I was like, I'm going to talk about Joel and his comic and how it updates all the time. Yay! And then I was like, oh wait, and his website is this. Blah. And thanks for blah.
It's around the same file size as per usual, so.
Yeah.
Which I'm going to stop, so don't say anything funny after this. No more funny.
Okay.
Funny out.
No problem.
I'm stopping, and no more funny.